Season 2, Episode 14, Cast and Blast Conversations, brought to you in part by Triumph Benefit Auctions. We've been talking about Triumph this entire season of Conversations, and want to give another shout out to our good buddy, Mark Dobersch. This is 2020, man. It's the craziest year most of us have ever been through. If you are looking at the fall and you're looking at next spring and you're looking to plan a fundraiser, plan events, you know the calendars are going to get crowded. Why not go ahead and reach out to Dobe now, get him on the books to help plan your event, help run your auction. 863-602-5921. Triumph Benefit Auctions. Mark Dobe Dobersch. We've talked about him at length. He's a fisher. He's a hunter. He's an outdoorsman. He's a marathoner, a triathlete. Like, he's an all-around guy. He's just a normal folks like one of us that enjoys Florida, loves Florida, been here all of his life. Give him a chance. Give him a call or text, 863-602-5921. This week on the show, we are joined by a new guest, a new organization we've talked about a little bit before, but it's Conservation Florida, and we're joined by their executive director, Tracy Dean. And we're going to talk about how land trusts work, how they fit into the conservation landscape in Florida, and what's next on the horizon for our great state that we all know and love. So I hope you guys will stick with us as we are joined by Ms. Tracy Dean right now. So this is the first podcast we've recorded outside. Ironically, we tried starting in a park, and then we had so much noise. Like, there was construction, there was everything. We thought we had a nice, peaceful park. It didn't go that way, did it, Tracy?
No, unfortunately not. We were shooting for the birds.
Yeah, we were shooting for birds, and we got beeping noises from construction equipment behind us. So, joined by Tracy Dean of Conservation Florida. How are you?
I'm great. I'm very happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you here. Conservation Florida, we interviewed Adam Bass back last year, who now works for you.
He sure does.
And I attribute all that to our podcast.
Well, it certainly helped. He's a fantastic advocate for conservation, and we're very, very pleased to have him
good,
as a
good friend of mine, Adam. And we interviewed him about his photography and just his activism work even before he worked for you guys. So there's an interest. You can go back and listen to that, because I think he plugged you guys on the show even before he worked there.
Yeah.
But tell us, who is Tracy Dean?
Yeah. Well, I am a sixth generation Floridian.
Show off.
I'm a wife to my husband, Michael. I'm a mom to our little girl, Molly. Yes, and I'm a dog mom to our pup, Maggie. I'm an attorney.
What kind of dog?
She's a mix. She's a rescue.
Okay.
She's a beautiful little thing. Smart. I'm an attorney as well. And, I can usually be found if I'm not at home or working at the barn. I really love horseback riding.
You're all about horses.
I am. You know what? I find it to be just an ever challenging and wonderful part of my life. And so,
how many horses do you have?
Well, I have one riding partner, is what I call him. His name's Scout. Just okay. One. Yeah. At home I love reading or binge watching. A good series.
What do you binge watch?
You know what? I just finished yesterday, The Politician on Netflix.
Okay, I haven't
seen
that.
Brilliant. All right. So smart. I've also recently taken up backyard okra farming.
Okay.
So I've had a pretty good backyard haul this summer so far.
Okra's the sticky one, right?
It can be, or you could fry it. I am, in all honesty, I'm just crazy about this state. I love it. And I joke a lot that my passion for the state, it's just wasn't an option. You know, there was no other way for me. It's in my DNA, if you will. But I'm very lucky that I get to do what I love and share that love for Florida with others and get to protect some of Florida's most special places as the executive director and CEO of Conservation Florida.
So before we talk about that, I want to ask you some questions. Do you know much about your heritage? Like, where were you guys located in the state? Like, where do you go back to?
Yeah. So my family moved to Florida in the early 1800s. They were predominantly in the Fort Walton Beach area. Eventually, they moved down to Central Florida.
Okay.
And then my mom moved us down to
Central Florida, like Greater Orlando area?
Greater Orlando, okay. Yeah. My grandfather, first he began working for Eglin Air Force up in the Panhandle, moved down. He was out actually working at Kennedy Space Center. And then my mom moved us down. I was born in Homestead, so Everglades kid. Yeah. So it's really, we're statewide. And now I have put down roots in the Orlando area again.
Forgive the airplane flying over. Hey, what do you want from a conservation podcast in Conservation Florida, but right. to be outside in Florida?
The outdoors. Right. Exactly.
So wait a second. You were born in Homestead, but you ended up in Orlando.
Yes.
Now, was that through family or was that through marriage or was that...
You know, I went to law school. I met my husband in Orlando, and this is where we have just chosen to put down roots. It's a fantastic place.
Now, I think it is important because this is going to discredit you with a lot of folks. We were talking about alma maters, and you went to Florida State?
I went to Florida State.
So we may have just lost half of our audience.
Go Noles. I'm Noel-blooded. Very proud of that.
And you said you were at Florida State during the Tebow years, so that was a rough football run for you guys.
It wasn't great. I think they may have won, I don't know, I can't remember, like a national championship or something.
Yeah, 2008, I think they won a national championship.
Yeah, one or two, whatever.
So that's rough. I'm sorry for that. I don't have an allegiance to UF necessarily. I like all the Florida schools. Polk State never had a much of a football team when I went there, so... My football allegiance is very divided. Before we get into Conservation Florida, a lot of the work you guys are doing, I have to ask you a couple questions. The first one is probably the most important question you'll ever be asked.
Okay.
Do you have serious feelings about pineapples on pizzas?
Yes. And I'm actually... So a lot of my peers will get a kick out of that question, too. I had the privilege of being in the Leadership Florida Connect class last year.
Okay.
And that's a program for emerging leaders under the age of 39 statewide. And, you know, we talk about a lot about policy issues and some of the biggest issues facing our state. And I'll tell you, the biggest one that we could not come to a consensus on
pineapple
is
on a pizza.
Yeah, it's whether pineapple should be on a pizza. And
right.
I'm firm in my belief that pizza should be salty.
Okay.
And not sweet.
You are.
I am.
Savory.
Savory.
No sweet on pizza.
No sweet.
That's maybe the first right answer we've had this entire. I am anti-pineapple entirely. Like,
completely.
I'm anti-pineapple, period.
Period.
Like, pineapple is the closest God has come to a mistake. I've said that on a podcast before. So I don't feel good about it. Any involvement in anything I like.
No.
Don't put it on a burger. Don't
no.
put it on pizza. Don't put it on stuff like that. If you want to eat a pineapple, go eat your pineapple in private.
What about coladas, though?
No. I don't drink.
Okay.
I don't drink at all.
Okay.
So pineapples are outside my realm.
Okay.
Entirely.
I can appreciate that.
I can deal with strawberries. I can deal with grapes. Can't deal with pineapples. And people, what I don't like is big pineapple forcing pineapple on me via pizza. That's pineapple subterfuge.
It's the pineapple lobby, man.
It really is. It's big pineapple. The other important question everyone's going to want to know about, do you hunt or fish?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
You don't. But you said you have a funny story about why you don't.
You know, I do predominantly fishing. You know, we do enjoy being outside. We get out on the water a bunch.
And but you're a horseback rider, so you're out riding a lot.
Yes, exactly. But I sort of hung my fishing rod up back when I was maybe like 8.
Okay.
We were down camping at the old KOA on Fiesta Key.
Okay.
Rinky-dink little boat. I got my very first pull, and... something started nibbling on my line. I was very excited, but it ended up overpowering me. My dad had to step in. And what he reeled in was actually half a fish that had been eaten by a barracuda.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
and you weren't excited about that.
That was it. And so for me, I'm more of the gal who enjoys being on the boat and eating the fish, but not catching them myself.
So you're not anti-fishing. You're just not fishing.
I'm pro eating fish.
Yeah. You're a consumptive user that doesn't consume. Or only does the consuming part.
Yeah.
But you, that said, you spend a lot of time outdoors.
I do.
So
yes.
One of the questions we try to ask everybody is boat snack, horseback snack. Do you eat on a horse? I'm not enough of a horseman to know this.
Not typically. I mean, I can go with boat snacks because we do get out on the water a bunch. I'm not much of a grazer, of a snacker myself.
Okay.
My husband and my daughter are, they could just survive on pretzels all day long. For me, what I pack them pretzels, and then I pack me, you know, a sandwich, like
okay.
a meal, like I'm more of a meal gal.
Okay. If you're going to sit down and eat, you might as well eat.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've established your baseline for outdoorsism. That car. There's a car next to us. I have no idea if I'll edit this out or not, but there's a car next to us just revving its engine. I have no idea why. Tell us about Conservation Florida.
Oh, I'd be so happy to. So Conservation Florida is a nonprofit land trust. That means we are a nonprofit land conservation organization, and we are working statewide to protect Florida's natural and agricultural landscapes for future generations. We were founded in 1999 as Conservation Trust for Florida, and our mission was really the same then, and that was to protect Florida's landscapes with a particular emphasis on Florida's agricultural and rural lands. So to date, we have worked with private landowners and governmental agencies and partnering nonprofits to protect just over 25,000 acres.
Wow.
Yeah, we're so proud of that. And we're currently leading protection projects that encompass thousands more statewide.
Okay.
Yeah. We focus on land protection projects that do a multitude of things, but we really prioritize land protection projects that, well, first, that add to current conservation lands and can help build a statewide land conservation corridor.
So contiguous lands?
Yes.
Is that what you look for first?
It is one of our top priorities when we're doing some analysis on whether or not we want to take on a land protection project. We ask, is there connectivity? Is it contiguous to other lands? Can it help build the corridor vision that we believe in? The second is we look to land protection projects that can support healthy populations of Florida's native plants and species, plants and animals.
Elaborate a little bit on that.
Yeah. So, you know, we and throughout the corridor, really, we have so many endangered native species in our state. If we're evaluating a land protection project and we know that it's home to a bird or a grass or a flower that's found nowhere else on the planet but here in our home state, we're going to prioritize that project because of just how special it is.
Gotcha. So yeah. You'll weight basically your options and then choose based on that?
Yeah. Yeah. Does it promote one of our conservation tenets? So does it build on conservation lands? Does it protect habitat for native plants and animals? Another is we look to protect lands that provide places for Floridians and our visitors to get out and connect with nature and recreate. We think this is so important because we know that once you get outside, you're going to fall in love with Florida the way that we love Florida, right? We look to protect lands that can help support local economies, perhaps through ecotourism. And we also look to support Florida's family farmers and ranchers.
Okay, elaborate on that a little bit.
I'd love to.
You guys have done a lot of work with Florida Cattlemen's Association.
Yes.
And unpack that. We've had Matt Pierce on the show before.
Oh, good man.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
So, and we plan to be interviewing both Matt and Brad Ferris again.
Oh, fantastic man. Yeah. What a group.
So go ahead and talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of the green space, a lot of the most pristine habitat in our state is actually Florida ranch land. And I think that's a common misconception. When people think about wild Florida, they're not automatically associating that with land that has been held for generations by some of our ranchers. We work with those ranching families, with those family farms and ranches to help them protect their land if that's what they want to do in perpetuity, meaning forever, so that they can continue working the land, but so that the land can also be maintained as wild and free Florida green space.
You alluded to the wildlife corridor.
I did.
A second ago.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on how that fits in? We're talking about the Florida Wildlife Corridor. Can you
Yes.
elaborate on how that fits into Conservation Florida?
I can. So I think I mentioned a little bit that when we're prioritizing our land protection projects, we look to build on current conservation lands. Now, the Florida Wildlife Corridor is a vision. It's a roadmap, if you will, that would work to connect current conservation lands and create a statewide wildlife corridor from the Everglades to the Panhandle. Now, Conservation Florida actually worked on the forefront of this idea. We partnered with the University of Florida and the founder of the nonprofit Florida Wildlife Corridor, Carlton Ward, who sits on our advisory board now, to fund the science behind what became the Florida Ecological Greenways Network, which is now sort of commonly called the Florida Wildlife Corridor. And we continue to work and build on this vision every day, working closely with our partners at the nonprofit, the Florida Wildlife Corridor, and we continue to prioritize land protection projects that promote that vision. So even with all the growth that Florida has had, we know that we still have a chance to create a corridor of protected lands that reaches from the Everglades to the Panhandle. But we also know that development is closing in fast.
And so Florida Wildlife Corridor is a separate entity, right?
It is,
than
yes.
Conservation Florida.
Yes.
But you look at that as the vehicle, so to speak, or the map that you guys try to append to? Am I describing that right?
You know what? It is both an organization and a vision. It's a vision that so many land conservation organizations across the state aspire to work collaboratively towards. And these are lands actually that already exist, that are already green. I think there are, you know, over 15 million acres in this corridor vision. This is public lands and private lands that are green, like the ranches we were just talking about, farmlands and forest lands, private lands that are already protected through some conservation mechanism like a conservation easement, and other green spaces like wetlands, for example. What we know and what we're striving towards is the protection of the remaining lands that aren't already in conservation.
So today, if I'm looking at it from a binary perspective, you've got half the state is slated for development, the other half of it is either protected already or ag.
Yeah.
Is that a fair way to look at it?
And what we're shooting for is moving the needle.
To make sure as much of it stays
green.
In green as possible.
That's right.
Which leads to better outcomes for wildlife, more conservation land, better outcomes for across the board.
Yes.
Gopher tortoises, panthers, bears, deer, turkeys, the whole nine yards.
100%. And it all starts with the land.
Okay. How did you get to the wildlife corridor? I mean, I'm sorry, how did you get to Conservation Florida?
Sure. So I am an attorney by trade. And I mentioned I'm a multi-generational Floridian. And so I did a little bit of soul searching after law school. I knew that I wanted to go into the nonprofit world. That led me to the public defender's office for a few years doing some litigation. After that, I thought, well, where do I want to use my voice? Where do I want to be an advocate? And for me, it was just clear as day. It's in my DNA. I want to be a voice for Florida and Florida's future. And I started getting involved in environmental advocacy up in Tallahassee. And then I realized really it all starts with the land. Water quality, air quality, way of life, quality of life, our economy, food and food production. It all starts with the land. And really there's no better mechanism, in my opinion, to protect the Florida that I love than boots on the ground land conservation.
I think Aldo Leopold once said or wrote that if you want to take care of the water, you have to take care of the land first.
100%. Yeah. And so, I love that you quoted Aldo.
Hang around me long enough. You'll hear me quote Aldo Leopold several times. So I want to go back. Can you explain? We've talked to Matt. We've talked to Adam. I think this has come up several times on our show, and a lot of folks may be familiar with it. If those aren't, can you explain how a conservation easement works?
Yes, I can. So a conservation easement is a legal agreement between a landowner and a conservation land trust or governmental agency that permanently protects the conservation values of the land. So an example that I'll use is a conservation easement on a ranch land. What we're able to do is ensure that the land stays working, that the conservation values of the land are permanently protected, but it stays in private ownership and is able to be passed down and remain productive while staying green.
And the landowner gets some sort of tax incentive, right?
They sure can. Yeah, it certainly depends on the deal, but they absolutely can get tax incentives given the right circumstances.
Now, when we were talking before I pressed record, there's three ways you guys facilitate land. Is that right?
Yes. So
one is conservation easements.
So the way that we achieve our vision is we work with willing landowners in a multitude of ways.
A rancher calls you and says, hey, I've got this land. I'm struggling with it. I want to protect it. Can you help us figure this out?
Yes. And we can provide the expertise needed to guide landowners through the land protection process. And that can often be complex, and there can be many turns along the road. And we partner with that landowner to make sure that they achieve their goal, their conservation goals, and that they get to the point in which their legacy is protected, if that's what they're shooting for.
And to be clear, they don't pass conservation easements out like candy.
No.
There has to be a reason, a mitigating reason for that easement to be issued, right? Like you can't just, can you just say, hey, I want to put this land into conservation?
Yes.
You can.
You can.
But you still have to go through a rigorous process to get it into conservation.
Well, not if you're working with an agency that may be closer to the case, but with when you're working with a nonprofit like Conservation Florida, and there are a handful of other accredited land trusts in our state, really, if you're looking to conserve your land, we will come out, we'll meet with you, we'll review your conservation goals. We will also review the many different paths to protection, and if for us, if your land meets one of our conservation tenets,
objectives,
you know,
right?
Yeah, water protection, you know, being contiguous.
That's what I was trying to say. Yeah, yeah. There's certain thresholds, right?
There are. Then we can work with you, and we can do everything in our power to get your land conserved.
So, is there a limit to how many conservation easements can be done?
Really, no. You know, we are actively looking for landowners who are interested in protecting their land. Our state and local partners and federal partners are looking for landowners who are willing to put their land into conservation as well. So conservation easements are a very cost-effective way to protect land on a landscape scale.
Okay. So that's one way that
yes.
land gets you. What are the other ways?
The others are by purchasing or accepting donations of land and fee, so straight up. Our organization, Conservation Florida, we can hold the property and make the promise of forever to the landowner.
You basically and behave as a trust.
That's exactly right. We are a land trust. And so we hold that property and we make the promise of forever. And we actually just closed on a very beautiful special preserve in Volusia County not too long ago, almost 500 acres. That is just a conservation gem. It hits every single one of our conservation objectives. And that's because there was a landowner who wanted to see their land protected, period.
Was there another way that it got to you as well?
Yes, we're also able to facilitate these large deals. We work as a bit of a liaison or as an intermediary between landowner and a multitude of agencies. So looking for conservation funding sources, if we have a landowner who's interested in selling an easement or selling their land for conservation purposes, we can help them navigate that process and then also liaise and work going between the multiple agencies and the landowner to get it done, make the deal happen.
Because the landowner puts the land into conservation easement, mm-hmm. you guys help them navigate that.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's say 20 years down the road, he's like, I don't want this ranch anymore. I'm ready to be done.
Mm-hmm.
My kids don't want it or anything else. I'm going to sell it. You help them facilitate how to sell that easement because that easement has to stay in conservation, right?
Easements run with the land, meaning once you have an easement on your property, it's forever. It's in perpetuity. So that landowner can sell the land, but the new landowner will then have that easement on their property.
And do you then try to work with the new landowner as well to navigate how to...
Yes, if we are holding the easement, if we're stewarding and protecting and defending that easement, absolutely. We meet with every landowner every time the land turns over. Sometimes it's generationally, sometimes it's by means of sale. But we definitely work with all the new landowners to make sure they have a good understanding of what the easement means and what their obligations and duties are. But more often than not, it's a very happy landowner who owns land with a conservation easement on it.
Do you guys sit... I'm guessing you set targets and you say, okay, so this goes back to the earlier conversation. You look at the wildlife corridor and you say, or you look at existing lands
mm-hmm.
and you say, we want to rate these and say, these are our hit list, so to speak. I mean, I don't know if that's a politically correct term, but
sort of conservation assassins isn't quite what we're going for, but you know, what we like to be is proactive. And we look to areas that are under immense development pressure or foreseeable development pressure. And we try and contact the landowners there that could help us build the conservation future that we're all hoping for, that could help support the corridor vision. Perhaps these are landowners whose properties are critical for watershed protection or would make for fine public recreation. Perhaps they're interested in hunting. And allowing for public access of hunting on their property. We're also working with landowners who have properties that, although they're strong conservation properties, they're also important for military readiness.
Right.
And we're able to work with them as well.
What do you think, Tracy, are the biggest obstacles facing conservation in Florida today?
That's a great question. I believe there are three big obstacles to conservation in our state. The first, overwhelmingly, is our growing population. You know, we are growing by nearly 600 to 1,000 newcomers per day. That's roughly the population of the city of Orlando coming and joining our estate annually. And frankly, there's no end in sight. We're seeing this happen right before our very eyes. And I'll tell you, you know, the Florida that my grandfather knew at a population of 2 million just isn't the Florida that my daughter will know 10 years from now, 40 years from now, when we have a population of well over 30 million projected. So that's the first, overwhelmingly. The second is habitat fragmentation.
Okay.
We're seeing,
what do you mean by that?
We're seeing that we have these incredible landscapes that are critical to some of our most iconic species, to panthers, to grasshopper sparrows, to the Florida black bear, being sliced and diced without significant thought and planning. We're big believers that our green infrastructure is just as important as our other infrastructure systems. And we're just not doing right now the planning necessary. And perhaps if we are doing some of the planning, we're not doing the implementation needed to make sure and to ensure that our green infrastructure is protected. But the, you know, we're seeing habitats sliced and diced. Some of the species that need what we call room to roam are just, their futures are in peril when we do that. So that's a huge issue facing conservation in our state. And then the third, in all candor, is the lack of meaningful and consistent funding of land conservation in our state.
At a state level.
We have had historically successful and nationally acclaimed programs that worked, that could work again, full speed, if they were funded meaningfully and consistently. And I want to prioritize that word, consistently, because land deals can take many years to achieve. So even if a program is well funded one year, if it's not well funded at that same level or better the next, many of our plans, many of our ongoing conservation projects, our conservation portfolios, they're doomed. Those projects may not come to fruition.
What programs are you talking about?
You know, there are two that have worked really well. The first is a well-loved and well-known program, Florida Forever.
Can you elaborate on what that is for folks that, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are, but we also get new listeners all the time, new to this world. So can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Absolutely. So Florida Forever is a policy that was put into place that once upon a time was funded at about $300 million annually. This is a funding mechanism that provided funds to our water management districts, to the Division of State Lands at the Department of Environmental Protection, to a program called Florida Communities Trust, to a program called a Rural and Family Lands. This program provided funding to allow our agencies, to allow conservation partners such as Conservation Florida to go after the lands needed for protection in our state, and to be able to do so confidently knowing that the funding was there and get it done. A very successful program. A program that also works very well and is critically needed is the Rural and Family Lands Protection Program in our state. This is a program that focuses on agricultural lands and the protecting the agricultural uses while also protecting the natural resources on a property. So, you know, our vision for Florida, that green space that we were talking about earlier that spans from the Everglades to the Panhandle, that's made up of not just public lands and wild spaces, but also of working lands. And if we don't protect both, then it's no deal.
Those are funded at a legislative level, which you've gone and worked on, right? Like you've gone
yes.
to Tallahassee and advocated.
Yes.
Not as a lobbyist, as a stakeholder.
As a stakeholder, as a conservation advocate, we know and we believe that advocacy is really important. We know that we have to meet our state leaders and our state change makers where they are. And they go to Tallahassee once a year and listen to constituencies and to causes. And we're very proud of our advocacy up there, making sure that they know how important land conservation is to Floridians and how important land conservation is to Conservation Florida and the work that we're doing in our portfolio of protection projects that really represent a wide range of conservation initiatives statewide. And look, overwhelmingly, Floridians, when given the chance, they vote conservation. They vote for environmental initiatives too. They are supportive of land conservation. I say sometimes that I think being Floridian, you're inherently a conservationist.
Yeah, or I know it's a controversial word sometimes for our listeners, but you're inherently an environmentalist.
Yeah.
Like, and you just don't get a choice on it.
You really, you don't, because the second you step outside, I mean, the reason why people move to Florida is
the outdoors. Taxes.
Yeah, the taxes are the outdoors. And I'll tell you what, I get it. I get why people want to move here. I get why 600 to 1,000 people are moving here every day. This is the best state to live and work and raise a family. And it is also home to the most iconic and lush landscapes and to places that are biodiverse hotspots that fishermen and hunters and hikers and paddlers and boaters and bird watchers all can enjoy, period. When you step out of your front door and you look up in that sky, you've got beautiful weather and you're living in paradise.
Unless it's 3:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, unless it's 3:30
in the
afternoon.
Between 3:30 and 5.
Move into the shade, and yep, then you're back in paradise. You're back in paradise. But yeah, we're so lucky to live here. And voters know that. And so it's a conversation that I am so proud to carry up to Tallahassee on behalf of Floridians just like us who love this state.
It's an interesting thing that I say a lot. I'm going to go off memory off this, but we get a lot of conservation talk from the West, like from the Montana, Bozeman, and they're great. Those guys are awesome out there.
Yeah.
But I say this all the time. If you combine the populations of Montana,
mm-hmm.
South Dakota, North
mm-hmm.
Dakota, Washington, okay. Oregon, Idaho, and Wyoming, you would have 22 million people. Florida's at, what, about 21 million?
Yeah.
And we get 150 million visitors a year,
yeah.
Which if you equally distributed them, would be about 3 million extra people.
Yeah.
It's a very different world we live in down here.
It is.
So when you talk conservation, I always say this is ground zero. This is the big leagues. If you want to come play, this is the space.
It's 100% the big leagues.
For conservation. Because
yes.
It's so, we used the term when we were talking earlier, so nuanced, so complex, mm-hmm. so many moving parts.
Yes.
You can't just blatantly say everything that does this is bad, everything that does this
no.
is good.
No.
So you guys have... You and your team have done a good job of navigating that, working with the corridor and everything else.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So we talked about some of the challenges we're facing, not including traffic blowers and construction projects in the park behind us. Mm-hmm. But what about some of the things you think Florida's doing right?
Yes. And I'm so glad that you asked that question because, you know, our organization, our culture, it's inherently positive. We believe that there's hope for Florida's conservation future. And that's because, and I alluded to this, actually more than alluded to it, I said it, when given the opportunity to support land conservation in our state, Floridians do it. We're doing that right. We're talking about it, right? It's all over the news. It's an ongoing dialogue that we overwhelmingly care about in our state. We're doing that so right. And I'm thankful for people like you who are making sure that the dialogue continues.
And Floridians at large.
Yes.
Like, we are very passionate about it.
Very passionate about it. From water to wildlife to way of life, we are talking about it.
Even folks that moved here yesterday.
Yeah.
They move here because they, like you said earlier, they want the water, they want the wild.
Right. What's not to love?
Right. And then they realize, wait, I see how the sausages are made. Maybe it's a little bit messier than I thought. How can I get involved?
Yeah.
So, that said, how can people get involved with Conservation Florida?
Yes.
Can they?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Can I join Conservation Florida as a member?
You know what? We are representative of people statewide. We would be so happy to have you on our team. We have opportunities to volunteer. We have opportunities to join us in Tallahassee and be advocates. We have opportunities for landowners left and right. If you know of a landowner, if you're aware of a piece of property that would be a fantastic preserve or needs to be conserved, reach out to us. Be our eyes and ears statewide. tell us what's going on, and we'll help if we can help. So yes, are there ways to get involved?
That said, though, how do you guys get funding?
At the end of the day, we are a nonprofit. We are a nonprofit, but we are for impact, right? We rely on the generosity of people that care a lot about Florida. I'm really proud to say that over the last 3 years, our return on investment is 1 to 33.
Explain that.
Yeah, meaning that for every $1 million donated, we're able to translate that into $33 million.
Holy cow.
Of conservation on the ground. And that's because we are creative, we are innovative, we are tireless, we are hungry to make this work in our state. And so if you're interested and you're listening and you say, you know what, I want to protect a little bit of Florida, then donate. We would be grateful to have you on our side.
Well, it sounds like that's money well spent.
It's money well spent.
From an investment standpoint, if you're looking to invest in wild places, that would be...
Yes.
That's a compelling number.
It is a really compelling number. It's one we're really proud of.
And I would have that stamped on everything I handed to anyone ever.
Yeah. We believe that Florida's conservation future is bright, and it's because people care a whole lot about conservation in our state, even if they don't know that the word is conservation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm guessing you're doing that behind the scenes with a lot of work with grants and federal aid and state aid, and like you're just making magic with the money. Is that how that works?
Exactly. We are, we're scrappy. We joke, we can make a penny scream, but donations that come to us, they're put into the ground. We find a way to turn donations into land conservation, period. And we're darn proud of that.
What are some stuff you guys got going on? Like during the Corona stuff.
Yes.
I don't know when this will air, but during the Corona stuff, like it's been challenging to get out and meet with people. And what are some of the things you guys have been doing that were creative?
Thank you. And thank you for calling them creative. You know, we got together as a team and we immediately asked, how can we as a nonprofit be there for Floridians right now? And what do we provide? What do we bring to the table? And I mean, it hit us like a wall. We can provide nature and access to nature. And now more than ever, folks have been understanding the importance of getting outside and the connection to wellness, not just mentally, but physically, and have been enjoying nature more and more and more. I read an article that was just fascinating, and it was a guy, I believe, in Tampa who said, you know, my community shut down, but it's never been more alive. And that's because people are outside enjoying nature. So we launched our Wild Florida RX campaign. Really?
RX, like prescription?
Like prescription.
Okay.
A conservation cures campaign. If you're feeling down, go for a walk. Get outside. Get out to a preserve, go for a hike, go for a kayak, a trip, go sit in your yard, go sit in a local park and just be outside. Soak up that Florida sunshine and that fresh air. And we know that that Wild Florida RX will do you some good. So we're promoting that initiative. But we also thought, how can we provide programming that is safe, that gets people outside while also being safely at home or in their neighborhoods? And so we launched the Great Florida Backyard Bio Blitz. We did this for the 2 months, so about 8 weeks, that we were generally quarantined or recommended to be at home.
When the state was shut down.
Yeah. And we asked folks to document the wildlife around their homes, neighborhoods, and local wild spaces to get outside in a safe way. And to use the iNaturalist app, document what you're seeing, which also gathers data for our scientists and folks who are interested in knowing what kind of biodiversity lives in urban and rural areas. So we're so proud. We had over 100,000 observations recorded.
Wow.
Yeah. And again, it's because people were getting outside and finding the retreat of being in an outdoor space, even if it's just their own backyard or neighborhood. So
that's,
yeah,
cool.
We're proud of the somewhat of a pivot that we took, but I think it worked out, and I hope that it brought some of our followers and neighbors and friends a little bit of joy and a little bit of peace in what was otherwise a bit of a chaotic time.
What do you guys got on your horizon? You got anything creative coming up?
Well, I promise I will let you know. We have a couple of really cool land protection projects, and they're so special. They are protecting some of the most endangered species that can be found only in our state. We are also, as things open up, planning on hosting some outdoor hikes at a distance.
Okay.
Keeping the groups very small in a very safe way. And then eventually, we do have that new preserve that I was telling you about. Our plans are to open that up for public recreation and acknowledging that our communities need
more space.
More space, exactly, to get outside.
Tracy, I remember this like half the time. So forgive me if you've been on this show and I haven't asked you this. I'm sorry. But I've been trying to ask people, what is your big idea? Like, what's something you want people to take away from listening to an interview with Tracy Dean? So what's your big idea?
Yes. What I would like for people to remember long after listening to this podcast is that it all starts with the land. It's all connected to the land. Water quality, air quality, quality of life, our economy, food production. It all starts with the land. And we are in what we are calling the last great push for land conservation in our state. We have 10 to 15 years to do something that we know is critical to our future. How we manage our natural resources now, what we save and what we pave, will undoubtedly determine not just Florida's conservation future, but the future of Florida as a whole. And I know in my bones that land conservation is a part of that solution.
I think what you're saying, to paraphrase, is there's a race to the finish at this point.
Yes.
As far as what this land is going to be.
Yes.
Is it going to be paved? Is it going to be a strip mall? Is it going to be a development? Is it going to be green?
Yes.
And what I hear you saying, or can see you saying, like, it's hard to convey that sometimes with just words, is we're going to determine that in the next 10 to 15 years.
Yes.
And it's going to be written forever.
It's going to be written forever. We are in the last great push. So
wow.
Join us.
That's, I don't like the way that feels.
Well, but you know, it's a big idea and it's the truth. We have 10 to 15 years to protect some of the critical linkages in the corridor, to protect areas that are necessary for the long-term protection of our waterways, our watersheds, our springs. And we have to protect food production, Florida's family farms and ranches. And it's all interconnected. It all starts with the land. And we have got to fund land conservation programs in our state better, consistently, meaningfully. And I promise you, organizations like Conservation Florida are ready to go.
People want to find out more about Conservation Florida. Where can they find them? Social media, website?
Yes, all of the above. Online, we are www.conserveflorida.org. On all of our social media platforms, we are at Conserve Florida. We're looking forward to getting to know you.
Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Sorry about the traffic and the park and everything.
It was part of the adventure.
Thank you so much to Tracy for being so generous with her time and putting up with the craziness of the traffic and airplanes and beeping and cars, and it's a super distracting interview. So I appreciate her hanging in there. I thought it came out great, and I appreciate so much what her and Adam and the whole team at Conservation Florida is trying to do for our state. As always, we appreciate you listening. Hope you share this show with a friend. Email it however you can get it into the hands or ears of someone you know. We really appreciate that. If you can leave us a review on iTunes, that always helps us out, helps other people find the show. Finally, I want to remind everyone that next week will be a little bit of a different week for us. We're going to be doing ICAST week all week with the FWC fisheries team. So we're going to be talking about artificial reefs. We're going to be talking about their catch programs, trophy catch, catch a Florida memory, boat ramp access, how funding works, how sport fish funding, Dingle Johnson works and that folds into it. For what we've talked about over the past several years, it's going to be a great time to get a lot of information, and we're going to do it in a different way. We're going to release a show every day, and there'll be short, little, concise episodes. You can listen to exactly what you want. So hang with us next week. Thank you guys so much for listening. Have a great weekend. Bye.